They perish, they perish in hell. Yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lashley. And a cheerful greeting to all the listeners of the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. It gives us pleasure to present to you once again the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. We've been discussing on some of the recent broadcasts how it's necessary for a person to repent and to be born again in order to please God. Many people readily accept this. Thousands of people believe in the new birth. There may be some difference of opinion as to what it will do for you and how to get it and so forth. Some are led to believe that church joining is the answer. And it seems as if they think shaking hands with a preacher is sufficient. But I want to declare to you plainly that there is more to salvation than just a mere profession. First of all, the new birth is a change which takes place in the heart of an individual, and he is made a new creature in Christ. Now, even here, perhaps, we would not hear too many dissenting opinions, but I want to go another step further than this. I want to speak to you about the second definite work of grace brought about in the heart by the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this scripture from the 6th chapter of Hebrews and beginning with verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Notice especially the part of that first verse which says, let us go on unto perfection. This includes more than the new birth and justification by faith in Christ. You see, there's a deeper work of grace for a child of God who's willing to give all and seek diligently until the Holy Spirit comes into his life and actually abides within. On the other hand, I believe the reason some people fail and lose out with the Lord is because they do not go on into the deeper things of God. Listen to a few verses of the chapter just preceding this one in Hebrews, from the 5th chapter and beginning with verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, these people were still bathed in Christ. No doubt they had experienced a new birth, but something was stunting their growth and hindering them from going on into the deeper things of God. In fact, they should have been teachers already. And yet, it was necessary that one should teach them again. Friends, do you want to always remain just a babe in Christ? Don't you want to grow up and be strong in Him? In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10, we find these words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I think that's some good sound instruction there. Do you think that these folks would just be bathed in Christ and be able to do such accomplishments as that? It sounds to me like it's going to take real men of God to stand against the principalities and the spiritual powers of wickedness coming against the children of God. Of course, when men are born, they are born as a child. But if your child never grows, you become alarmed about him. If he always has to have baby food, there's something wrong. Do you know why a child loses his baby teeth? Why, sure, you say. Because there are some stronger teeth on the way. Yes, that's exactly right. Do you know why he gets stronger teeth? Well, you say, don't be foolish. All right, let me explain. He gets stronger teeth in order to chew and digest stronger food. Well, isn't this also true in the spiritual sense? Does the Lord not want his children to grow strong in him? Then in order to do that, you must go on to perfection. Listen to these verses from Romans, beginning with 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I would say, before you could present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, it would be necessary for you to have an experience already with Christ. This, then, is the second work of grace which I'm speaking about. From Webster's dictionary, we find the meaning of sanctify to be this, quote, to set apart to a sacred purpose or to religious uses, consecrate, end of quote. Now, that's one meaning of it. It is necessary for a child of God to set himself apart to belong wholly to God thereafter. Here, then, is the second definition of sanctify. Quote, to free from sin, purify, end of quote. It is God which performs this act in the heart of believers when they have performed the first act of setting themselves apart. Now, isn't this exactly what Peter taught to the apostles and elders about the whole, after the Holy Ghost was given to the Gentiles? Listen, from Acts, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. You see, the disciples were saved before the day of Pentecost, but when the Holy Spirit came, they were invigorated with a power which they had never experienced before. In other words, their hearts were purified by faith, and they went forth with renewed power to preach the everlasting gospel. Friends, I'm not holding back the truth from you with something in reserve which you cannot know about until later, but we're telling you what God expects and requires of you. He wants a life wholly surrendered to him, Listen to this poem. Will you fail? He is counting on you. He has need of your life. In the thick of the strife, for that weak one may fall if you fail at his call. He is counting on you. If you fail him, what then? He is counting on you, on life, money, and prayer. And the day shall declare if you let him have all in response to his call, or if he in that day to your sorrow must say, I had counted on you, but you fail me. What then? He is counting on you, oh, the wonder and grace, to look Christ in the face and not be ashamed. For you gave what he claimed, and you laid down your all for his sake at his call. He had counted on you, and you fail not. What then? Let us pray. Our Father, we're indeed happy that you not only made provisions for the atonement of our sins through the blood of Christ, but thou hast made provision for us to be wholly sanctified, as the Scriptures say, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Bless those who hear the message today. May they grow up to be strong men and women in God who will hold up the truth. Thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen to this song, What Would Jesus Do? The singers are Maybelle Pruitt, Marie Miles, Vernon Miles, Jean, and Dorlila Beasley.
If the sinful ways of life you are tempted to pursue, just stop and think before you yield. What would Jesus do?
Friends, it's been a pleasure to bring you this short message from the Word of God. We hope that it'll be a benefit to you. If we may help you in any way, or if you would like a printed copy free of charge, let us know. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.